and to everyone else at the song of my voice. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, the name that shall be called, the name that is wonderful, is the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. I would also like to take this opportunity to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone, knowing that Thanksgiving is only 4 days from today. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Blessed God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for another privilege you extend us unto us, whereby we can proclaim the gospel of salvation. We pray, Father and God, for everyone who would be under the sound of your word at this time. We pray, Lord, that you may now give them a listening ears, a heart of reception. We pray for your servant as he speaks thy word. We pray, Father, that you may empower him by the Holy Spirit, and that by the end of this meeting, someone may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask his mercies and favors with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Shall we turn to a very known portion from the Word of God? We turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read some selective verses. We're going to read verse 13 to 16 and verse 21 to 27. Verse 13, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead to destruction, and many that be rich go therein." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which lead unto life, and few there be that find it." Verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which comes to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." The question is, do men gather grapes of thorn or fig of thistle? Question, no. The answer, no. Verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name we have cast out devils, and in thy name we have done many wonderful works." Verse 23, Then will I profess unto them, "I never knew thee. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth this saying of mine and do them, I will like unto him like unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth the saying of mine and do them not shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell." and great was the fall of it. I trust the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name and mercy's sake. The word said, and great was the fall of this house. In the end, he said, when Jesus had finished the saying, the people, they was astonished of what he said. Why? Because he speak with authority and not as a scribe. They was astonished. It means that they was amazed. They were surprised at the word that came from the mouth of Jesus. Have you ever heard something and you are so surprised? Well, that's what happened to these people at this time. They was greatly amazed at his saying. Because why? He speak with authority and not as a scribe. I was looking for, all right. I trust that at the end of this meeting, that someone this afternoon may recalibrate and change your destination and enter into the right gate. Here in this passage, these words, or these important words, came directly from Jesus' mouth himself, with a command to enter at the narrow gate. Jesus knows that sin has blinded the mind and the heart of people from making the right decision. So this is what he said. He said to the people to make a choice. He said, choose the straight and narrow gate. Jesus always knows what is best for me and for you. And he asks us, he also tells us what is right to do. They could have selected whatever gate, but Jesus still come on the scene. He said, choose the straight and narrow gate. Just like he said in Deuteronomy, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But he still asked you, make a choice to choose life, that you and your house may live. He said to choose the narrow gate. The narrow gate referred to the difficult and narrow path to enter life or to enter eternal life, which requires a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is not popular in our world today. They rejected Christ when he came into this world, when he came to die for the sin of mankind. They rejected him. They said there was no room for him in the inn. The word reminds us he was despised and rejected of man. He was a man of sorrow. Yes, they refused to give him a place in the inn. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus says, if the world hates you, he remind you that he had hate him first. In Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, he have to deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. So here we see that this pathway is not a popular pathway. This life is not a popular path, as people might tell you. It is a straight and narrow way. That's the straight and narrow way that would lead to life eternal. Jesus himself said, if any man will come after me, he have to deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. And we would not find popularity in this Christianity. But that's the way that lead to eternal life. That's the destination I would trust that everyone would like to take. A gate is a point of entry to begin your destination. And if you do not follow the right instruction, you may just go the wrong gate. And you may miss your flight or miss your destination. So, be alert. Examine your boarding pass to be sure that you are in the right gate. Jesus spoke of two gates. So you must enter a gate. There is no three gate. There is not a third gate. Jesus spoke of two gates. So you must enter one of these gates. My question is, which gate are you entering? Which gate are you entering? Everyone will live somewhere forever, either in heaven or in hell. Sometimes we don't like to hear the word hell mentioned, but we are going to live somewhere forever, heaven or hell. But Jesus knows what best for you. He says, enter into the narrow gate. Because the wide gate leads to hell destruction or hell condemnation. When the narrow gate leads to life eternal, that's heaven, God's dwelling place. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, he said to examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Choose your own self. Prove it your own self. Except you being a reprobate, you would not know. So he said to examine yourself if you are in the faith. The wide gate is the way to destruction. It is self-dependent, flesh motivation, science and religious influence, religious deception, and these are many that goes there. There are many that goes this direction. Religion says many ways leads to heaven. That's why there are so many of them. I said that's what it says. Many ways lead to heaven. So you say that's why there is so many of them, so many of the religion, such like Hindus, Buddha, Islam, Shiite, Sikh, Baha'i, Mormon, Judaism, Kisha, Shiite, and Sikh, Confucius. He says, just to name a few of them, that's why they are so confusing. They are very confusing. All trying to go to heaven to meet God in their own way. That's the wide gate that leads to hell. And many that goes there. But Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The end of that way is the way of destruction. Many goes on that way. Many follow that narrow gate. As we see here in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that lead to life, and few that find it. Do you see? Few that find it, because The gate. Why? Few find it. Because the God of this world had blinded the eyes of many that they should not believe. That's the reason why. The God of this world had blind man's eyes that did not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why everyone is heading on the broad grid. That comes from 2 Corinthians 4:4. So, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the straight and narrow gate. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one come to the Father except by me." That's what Jesus Christ himself said. And no other one ever said what Jesus said. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man come to God the Father but by me." So you see, all the other way, all the other religious way is the false way. Jesus declared that "I am the and the only way to enter the heaven or to come to God." Jesus is the only one that declares such like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So here we see that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the straight and narrow way. That's the way that leads to heaven. The gospel talk about it have no compromise, no lies, no deception, no corruption, no cover-up. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is just the plain and truth. Nothing else but the truth. That's what the gospel is. Just the plain truth. Just the plain truth, what the gospel is. That's why we all can say, "Because God is truth." God is truth. Let all man be a liar, but God is truth. That's why Christianity is what. That's why Christianity is built upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not on religion. It is built on Christ, the foundation, and Christ, the solid rock. That's why we can sing, "And Christ, the solid rock we stand, because all other ground is sinking sand." All the other ground is just sinking sand. Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe." He goes further and says, "To the Jews and also to the Greek, because for in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." What he's saying now, he's not ashamed of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ. Because why? It is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believe. To everyone that believe. It's the power of God unto salvation. Because why? For it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ the righteousness of God is revealed. You would not find it in other way. But in the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. And if you want to know where God's righteousness is revealed, look in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why Jesus Christ, when he was leaving earth to go back to heaven, he commanded us to preach the gospel. It is very important the gospel be preached, that men could hear of Jesus Christ who died for your sin, buried and rose again. Praise the Lord. He continued, he said, "So, to remind us that the message in the gospel is that Christ die for your sin. That is the message in the gospel. Christ died for your sin according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again for your justification. That's the message in the gospel. Christ died for your sin. And many does not want to hear about this because what I said before, it is not a popular message to the world today. They do not want to hear it. Give them something else, they would believe it. But tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they would cock their ears from listening to it. Because that's where the power of God unto salvation is, if you believe. To believe. So the message, I said, is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message is that Christ died for sin. He was buried and he rose again on the third day for your justification. Just the only way, that's it. Jesus, the only way that leads to heaven. He is the atoning sacrifice for sin, and he offers salvation to all who believe. That's what Jesus, he became the atoning sacrifice for sin, and he offers salvation to anyone who believe. Whosoever believe, he said, let him come to all who believe. In John 1 verse 9 says, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find green pasture. That is the invitation that Jesus Christ is giving to you this morning. I am the door. So by me, if any man enter in, if any man come through this door, he shall be saved. Praise the Lord. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If any man eat of me, he shall live forever. My question this morning, this afternoon, is do you want life? Jesus said, if you eat of me, you are going to live forever. Do you want to live forever? Do you want eternal life? To live where, in heaven, where God's dwell, in God's dwelling place. Jesus said, if you eat of me, you are going to live forever. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you would not walk in darkness. You would not walk in darkness, but you would be in the light. John 3:18 says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. You can come to the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And if you come to him, he's saying you will not walk in darkness at all. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given whereby we must be saved, but only through the name of Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I said there is no other name, neither Buddha, Hare Krishna, no other one you could name them. They all die and no one resurrect. But only Jesus Christ that came from this tomb, and he's alive and alive forevermore. And he is the one that is coming back again to receive you unto the Father. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon? There is no other name. There is neither salvation in any other. There is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 5:2-5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man Christ Jesus, the one who gave himself a ransom for us. I said one God, one mediator between God and that man Christ Jesus. He's the one that gave himself for us. 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ, our Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. That's the reason why Jesus came into this world for one particular purpose, is to save a lost world, to save man from their sin. That's the reason why it was prophesied even before that one must die, that the whole nation should not perish. And it was also prophesied that the virgin shall be with child, as we see in Isaiah 7:14. So now, as we are about to face the day what we call Christmas, the time when Jesus Christ came into this world, we must realize that the virgin birth was not a surprise to no one. It was not a surprise. Why it was not a surprise? This was prophesied some 700 years ago before the angel visited Mary. Before he told her in what says in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. This was prophesied some 700 years ago before it came into effect. So this was not a surprise, my friend. God appointed for it to be, that Jesus Christ is the one who is going to take away the sin of the world, and by him only. We read in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who was under the curse of the law. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to redeem those who was under the curse of the law, and he came directly for this purpose. And that's why in Isaiah 9:6 says, the time came, he said, for unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Praise God. In the appointed time. So you see, there is no mistake in God's what God has promised. My friend, if you live here this morning and you does not know and believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for your sin, and there is no other way excepting the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the straight and narrow gate, and you leave this place and you did not accept him, it's up to you. You have a choice to make. He said, enter into the narrow gate. The gate which speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, the narrow way, the narrow path, what Christians have to go through in this present world, the suffering, the rebuke, the entreat, the persecution. And as we see many Christians who are persecuting in many places in the world today, that's what the narrow gate is all about. This afternoon, as you have heard the word of God, you have a choice to make. Choose between the two gates. But like Jesus Christ himself says to you, enter the narrow gate. The choice is yours. I trust that you may be able to make a wise and intelligent choice this afternoon and choose to enter the narrow gate. Amen.